Today I thought we'd talk about acknowledging and celebrating the new year. I know I'm a bit late, a few weeks late, but in Scripture they went on for weeks and weeks celebrating the new year, so I thought we can be in tune with that. You know, as a new year dawns, I think it's really exciting. You know, no other part of the year has, well, the population or people in general have a view to new beginnings or new possibilities. You know, even the people out there in the world, they look to celebrate, perhaps not in the way we like, but they get excited and look to a new year and what's going to happen. You know, after Christmas, we had a working bee and did the cleaning and took all of the Christmas decorations down. We've sort of had a theme going there for a while from Easter with Naomi's talents. We had the torn curtain and the open tomb. And then we had the Christmas display. And as we took all that down, I looked up there and I thought, that it looked a bit bare then. So I thought today, in our imagination, we might draw a mural on up there, depicting what's going to happen in the new year, what we believe in for in the new year, the possibilities of the new year. I imagined hills in the background, nice lush green paddocks in the foreground, trees growing. With at this time of the year, the New Year's fruits all just starting, and the possibilities of the fruits of our labour, the fruits of from our what we do, the fruits on all the trees. This time of the year, we're really blessed. Then there were trees for shelter. There were trees for shade. And then there was a stream flowing down the side, representing the Holy Spirit flowing through us, flowing through our church. That's the canvas we start off with, all the possibilities. Now, I didn't bring the paintbrush, so you're going to have to all walk with me in your imagination. It's like being back at school. Yes, a new year has dawned. New horizons are before us. You know, it's really exciting if you think about just what could happen in our lives this year, what can happen in our church. You know, nothing's impossible. You know, we say let the little children lead them. Last week we enjoyed a luncheon celebrating Don's special birthday. And on the table we were about to have lunch on, we had blank butcher's paper. And the children drew pictures, wrote happy birthday and lots of nice messages all over the tablecloth. It was quite spontaneous. But they did a beautiful job, and it just touched Don's heart. And he folded it gently and took it home, and he's got it spread out. So that's what little children can do to people's hearts. How much more can we bless people's hearts? Just by something really, it doesn't have to be a big thing, but just
remembering someone, just being thoughtful to their needs, to check on how they are, especially when people aren't well. Like Anita's really struggling at the moment. And, you know, remember to pray for her, to encourage her. And other people in our church have had long-term illnesses that are really struggling. And sometimes I think they feel a little bit alone and left out. Let's love them and care for them. If we sort of think about what you can do, what you would paint on the canvas, you know, the possibilities are endless. You know, if you think about fellowship, you know, we're going to paint having a cup of coffee with someone or inviting them home for a meal or, you know, just enjoying each other's company. You know, that could be your painting on the mural. Phone someone if they're missing from church or they're sick or you just haven't seen them for a while, or go and visit them. You know, it's very important, and we need people, we need each other. You know, outreach. Some folk could paint people going out, visiting the hospital, visiting other people, witnessing street by street, door by door. Then there's the mission outreach. You know, we've got contact with Vanuatu and they've had heavy, heavy needs with the volcano. You know, there's lots of things you can do towards that. Perhaps you could paint on the mural, you know, assisting them. Then there's other ways people can help. You know, some people are natural encouragers. You know, you meet them and they greet you and you immediately feel uplifted. You know, that is a gift and it's a necessity. You know, we need to encourage our pastors. You know, we sit here and people come doing practicing music and presenting worship time and giving of, you know, coming an hour early. You know, encourage them, build them up. And we listened to, you know, an excellent sermon week by week with Nigel's special teaching gift. You know, don't take it for granted. Encourage him. Build him up. And the brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know, when someone does something special or has a special need, encourage them. Like, each week we're coming to a banquet. There's a special lady here that works so hard and provides a lovely morning tea all the time. Thank her and build her up and encourage her. It sometimes takes a bit of courage to be bold and step out and to invite someone to church or to encourage them. Some people are more natural at it than others, but, you know, whatever, you know, everybody's got a gift. Some people have got several gifts. You know, use them to the glory of the Lord and for each other. I read a book a while back called Just Walk Across the Room, and the main theme of that book was wherever you are, in church, down the street, or at some social function, look around and if you see someone that's sort of on their own and look like they're a bit lost or haven't got anyone to talk to, walk across the room, that was the name of the book, and speak to them and encourage them. And then you can follow up and, you know, or oh, this fellow, he was pretty good that wrote this book. You know, he always had brought them to the Lord in no time. But, you know, just make that first step to step out to people, reach out to them. Then there's a practical service around the church. You know, believe it or not, you can have fun and fellowship doing the church cleaning and gardening and maintenance. It can have really good fun together. You know, perhaps that's part of the mural you could paint. You know, week by week we have a cup of tea, and you know, we're really blessed where everybody jumps in and does the washing up and tidying up. You know, working together, that's special. So, is the canvas getting filled up, or is it still a bit blank? You know, by this time in January, usually all those New Year's resolutions have fallen by the wayside. But I think now is the moment, because now, when perhaps you've made an unrealistic New Year's resolution, now you're down to reality. Now you can say, right, this is the beginning. Now I'm going to claim my heart's desire for this year. I'm going to step out. You know, we need to build our faith up if we want to believe for something special. You have to make an effort, and the only way to do that is to spend time in prayer and read the Word on a regular basis. You know, if you haven't got a reading plan, there's Word for Today books up there that's freely available to take one. They're available every quarter. But, you know, feel free to take one, and that'll help you with your daily readings. I don't know how many times I haven't read the daily reading, and it's just the Word I need it for that day. It just never ceases to amaze me. There's a special scripture that I think if we read this every morning, our day would go well. It's Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We could perhaps print it out and put it up on the fridge and, be inspired. You know, in Scripture, New Year was very special. They went on for ages celebrating. New Year's Day was celebrated by the Hebrews with a great festival, with lots of joy, and it was the seventh month of the ecclesial year, but the first month of the civil year. It's a bit confusing, but that's when they had their New Year's Day. And it was called the Feast of the Trumpets. That is, we read about that in Numbers 29, verses 1 and 2. God gave them special directions to celebrate the new year. On the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. See, you have a day off on New Year in the Old Testament. It's a day for you to sound the trumpets as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Prepare a burnt offering of one young bull, one ram, and seven male lambs, and a year old, all without defect, because to present anything to the Lord, it has to be perfect. And there were other directions, goes on for quite a while in detail what to do. So it was quite a ceremony. So New Year is important to the Lord. In Psalm 90, verse 12, we read, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we might gain a heart of wisdom." It's challenging to approach a new year and realise anew that our days on earth are rapidly passing. Well, in my era, but young people have trouble getting their head around this, but days, weeks and years do pass by so quickly. Only God knows the number of our days, because He knows the number of our days before we're born. You know, no one's got a claim on tomorrow, so we've got to treasure each day. How important it is to pause with the psalmist and pray for a heart of wisdom that will enable us to live each new day in a way that brings glory to God. There's lots of possibilities in a new year. You know, it was at the beginning of a new year that God gave Ezekiel a vision of a new temple in Jerusalem. The vision of the new temple came to Ezekiel in the 25th year of exile and the 14th year after the fall of Jerusalem. You know, we get discouraged after a short time. Can you imagine staying in tune, worshipping the Lord for 25 years when you're taken off into exile? I should say there'll be a time where you'd get pretty depressed. We read in Ezekiel 40, verses 1-4. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year after the fall of the city, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me high upon a mountain on whose south side were some buildings that looked like a city. He took me there, and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. He was standing in the gateway with a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. The man said to me, "Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you, for that is why you have been brought here. Tell the house of Israel everything you see." And he gave him the measurements and the plans of the new temple for Jerusalem. You know, the description goes on for chapters, so there was no small vision. He wrote it all down in fine detail. So, you know, that was the beginning of the year. So, you know, he waited 25 years. Sometimes while we're waiting for our prayers to be answered, we do feel a little depressed, despondent, sort of ready to give up. But, you know, the new year is a great time to start and believe for something special. Perhaps for a family member, perhaps for your finances, for your health, for your job, for your husband or wife, for your children, for our church. You know, now is the time to be open to receiving God's plans for your life. God has perfect timing. We don't always think so while we're waiting. Ezekiel must have been seeking the Lord that day to be open to receive such a vision. No doubt our vision or desire wouldn't be several chapters long. But, you know, God is loves everybody, and he wants, knows our desires, and he knows our needs. You know, if we start off a new year, we've just got to remember that old things have passed away and all things become new when we're new creatures in the Lord. When we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus, the past is past, forgiven and forgotten. You know, Paul in Philippians 3, he had much to be forgiven for, because he, before he came to know the Lord Jesus, he had fallen short in many ways. He said, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to be taken hold of it, but one thing I do, this is what's important, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The past is the past. This is a new beginning and a new year. So to summarise, as we commence this new year with its new possibilities and new horizons, let us ask ourselves, what can I paint on the blank canvas of our church? Where do I fit in? How can I serve the Lord? But before we start painting on the canvas, we need to ask ourselves, have I got the right tools? Have I got the right attitude? Have I a scripture reading plan to help me day by day? How is my prayer life? You know, treasure each day and give thanks for his mercy. Be open to the Lord's direction and plans for your life. Be patient. The past is the past. Let's press on to the future, loving the Lord and each other as we seek to serve him.